the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 29, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city and look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning and get right now before it's too late, because for so many of you, it is already too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of this at our ministry hub. And I implore you to do that. Send everybody to our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Now, a lot of people want to use messiahsbranch.org, but, you know, it is very, very outdated, and it hasn't been updated in a while. We just switched it to a, a WordPress blog so I could work on it. But when you hear everything else, we just haven't had the time to update it. So the most up-to-date things that you can get is from prophecyhour.com. Okay. And then we also have WichitaHomeless.com, but you can find all the links to the things you need at prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address. This means that if you include your phone number, you can say, hey, Pastor Dan, call me back. I need a prayer. And you know what? I have my email on most all day long. I'm very seldom without it. Because if I'm not here working at the Mission Church, you know, I rarely have any personal time, so except for the Sabbath, and that's dedicated to the Father. But the point is that I see email a lot. So, you know, and my computers, even when I'm away from them, they're on. The email box is on until I finally go to sleep. And I'm more prone to, it's easier to check that than play back messages and things of that sort. So pray about it. You can send your request there. But now, if you actually send a prayer request that you say what your prayer is, in that email, I will print it out. I'll take it to the Wichita Mission Church, anoint it with oil, and we'll pray on it. And this is a way to make a connection with you. And if you want, we can send that back to you with no solicitation for donations. If you send me your address, or if you send me something in the mail, unless you request to be put on the mailing list, then we just don't do it. We just get ready. My wife says we just lose the address. I just throw it away. So pray about that. Anyway, but if you want me to call you back, you can reach me that way also. Anyway, we have a prayer request form, which is just really a contact form on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. So if you think that's easier, you can type right in that and hit send, and it will get to me. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Now, we're just back from a power outage, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes when I'm going to bring Frank on with me, and we're going to talk about the power outage and some really interesting things, so you want to make sure you stay tuned. My second program tonight will be Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club, and he's got some interesting things to tell you about the Antichrist tonight. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Jerusalem, Israel, Tel Aviv, Israel, Stockholm, Sweden, Beijing, China, Perth, Australia, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, Los Angeles, California, Jacksonville, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. And we'll special thanks for some of the folks over there in Wichita. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. So please give us all ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, folks, I'm going to talk about a few things, and I decided not to just talk. I get feedback, so I asked Frank, that you all well know. He's Frank Stefan, and he does the Frank Report on AVR Radio, which is American Voice Radio. He's also the founder of it, and he's a pretty intelligent guy. You know, he seems to have a know about everything that we ever bring up, but because this is, you know, equipment-related, and, well, I needed a friend to talk with tonight. So, Frank, are you there with me?
I am.
Well, it's glad to hear your voice. I didn't hear you last week and in only one program last the week before.
Yeah, you've been slacking.
I've been slacking. Yeah, well, let's go back and kind of discuss the sequence of events. not this last week, but the week before. We were getting ready. We did our first radio program. We did that with Carl Gallups, and we was getting ready to do our second one. And in fact, didn't I already have made a connection with you, hadn't I?
Yeah. You were on. Even your guest was connected. We were ready to go.
Yeah.
And the music was playing.
And the music was playing, too. I wouldn't know because I had a different kind of music, so to speak, here. We heard that there was going to rain, but we didn't know the kind of storm that was coming in. And it came all of a sudden. Like I say, I was looking out the window, and all of a sudden it was black. And then it was like, boom. The power went out. Everything blinked out. And the only reason I was still able to talk to you is that, I want to go into how many computers I got in a minute, but my Skype computer is on a battery backup. And so...
Yeah, I remember you were in the middle of talking to me, and you're saying, hey, this thing ain't going to last that long. I'm on this battery thing, and all the power's out. The computers are out. This thing's on the battery, and I'm going to drop off any... And that was the end of you.
And that was the end of me. And for the next week, I wasn't on. So, yeah, folks, so thank the Father that somebody gave me a battery backup that I had the Skype computer in. And I'm told by my tech guy that... I was surprised that even with the battery backup, because it was a power surge, that it even didn't get, you know, it hurt. So I want to tell the folks, and you two can make some comments along the way, about what computers I use. People are like, well, because I had one of a big supporter, Frank. I got donated some money, and he said, well, you can use some of that money to, you know, replace your equipment, he said, but, you know, you only really need a really cheap computer and all this, and so I thought I'd really like to explain what I do. You use more than one computer, surely, for AVR, don't you?
Yeah, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I use 8.
8? Wow. Did you have not a question of battery backups, but you got real good surge protectors for those?
Yeah, I have surge protectors, but the battery backup that I have was actually donated, and it doesn't cover everything, okay? But it covers some things, kind of like you, to where it keeps a couple of critical things going, and it's not like, oh, that's okay, AVR will just keep going normally. No, it won't be normal. But it won't just drop off. What it does is give me the opportunity to get on there and say, listen, we're about to go down. You know, if the power doesn't come back like now, we're about to go down, and this is on battery backup, just like you told me. If it won't last long, we're about to, you know, it's only going to last this. The one I have actually has a little timer on the front that tells you how much time you got left.
Really?
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. Mine's just an older one somebody passed on, and I got. But it did allow me to tell you what was going on and that it's going to be gone, and to shut the, and that's the key thing. It allowed me to shut the computer down on its own instead of abruptly going off.
Right.
And so that was critical. Okay, well, I'm going to tell them about that.
Well, and another thing the battery backup also does, you mentioned surge protectors. It's a great surge protector because, while if you get a big surge, it may wreck your battery backup, but it won't wreck your computer because, you know, you got to understand a battery backup is not really running even when the power's on and you got all your stuff in it and, you know, everything's fine. You're not running off of the straight power. You're still running off the battery on that battery backup. It's just the battery is being continuously charged from the cord plugged into the power supply in your wall. So when the power supply in the wall goes out, it just nothing changes for the thing. It's still running off the battery, but other than being charged up, it's draining. That's the only difference. So it's a great surge protector, too, because if you get a surge through your wall, it goes into basically your inverter in your battery backup, which charges the battery. Okay? Now, it might burn out your inverter, which then that thing's pretty much useless, but it won't go all the way through the inverter, through the battery, and into your computer.
Right, right. Well, yeah, so, you know, clearly, you don't have to convince me, because, it's like I say, I run, now, here we go for the computers, folks. I run two other computers that are going on. Now, right now, we're live on radio, right, Frank? We're going out on satellite and some FM stations. So, what is it that, what they get back when I put it in what everybody calls podcast now, I used to just, you know, radio archives, I've been putting them on the internet since 2001 before they ever called them podcasts. But what we are recording what goes out on the internet, what goes out on satellite, goes out on the internet, and then it's come back. So what we record is the same thing that you folks are listening to live. Because, you know, I believe in live radio. I don't like to edit things or, you know what I mean, Frank. I don't like to take things out if, oh, that's a mess up and go and edit it out. You like
right.
To
Yeah. I don't do that either on our archives either. Now, every once in a while, what I will do, though, because I not only put them in the archive where it doesn't matter, okay, and I don't change those ones. I mean, if there's some mess up, the mess up's on it. But I also use the shows to replay, you know, like overnight. Your show will replay overnight, you know, because you're on today. And we're on 24 hours, so, you know, I don't have any live people at 3 a.m. So, you know, the shows that played live today get replayed, you know, over the night. You know, the internet goes around the world, so people, you know, where it's morning can listen to it even though it's 3 a.m. here. But the thing is, those shows I will fix from time to time, but not content, like, oh, somebody said something I didn't like. I never do that. But, like, let's say there was a mess up and your intro music didn't get recorded.
Right.
I will go back and insert your intro music.
Right, exactly. Thank you for explaining it. And, folks, that's it. That's what I mean when I get ready to say, well, sometimes we edit a couple of things, because once in a while, whether it's a storm or we work with computers. You hit a button and music's supposed to come on, and sometimes it doesn't for a minute, and I'm sitting here tapping my finger and saying, oh, okay, Frank forgot, you know, yuck, yuck. But the point is that we will edit, my son, after he records that, he will edit out, like, blank spots, you know, in the program and make sure everything sounds okay, and then condense the file, because we get it, we do it in a WAV file when it's first recorded, which is about the best, and then we condense it down to an MP3 to put out. So that computer, so that's one computer that's running. It's also, we call it the production computer, and it also has a Photoshop in it, because my son makes a special picture for every radio program, so you can identify the program. So he does all that work in it, and it's running. Boom. The storm got that computer, wiped it out. Well, come to find out, I thought it was the worst. I thought that was good. That one was going to be the worst. But it got the hard drive in it. We put the hard drive back in that one, and everything is peaches and cream with that one. Okay. So, drum roll. Here, this computer that I'm looking at, not the one I'm talking on, the one I'm looking at is what I call my main computer. In this computer, while it's on, right now I'm staring at two different screens. And, you know, and I'm not the only one that does this. If you look at Rush Limbaugh, he's got at least two screens around him with the mic in the middle, just like I do. Well, on one screen, I have a website up from whatever radio guest that we're talking with or any special thing about him. And I also have a website up for in case something breaks during radio, I will be aware of it so I can tell you folks. Okay, on the screen directly in front of me, I have what I call a read sheet. And that's to go down that in a couple of program notes, you know, intro, lead in and lead out, simple things that make sure that my memory doesn't fade on me because I will be 62 next week. So anyway, point is so that's a read sheet. It has an atomic clock on it, and it also has a chat box so that I can talk directly with Frank. And only with Frank while the radio program's on. That way, if something's going on, you know, I need to know about it, he can tell me, or if I tell him, well, hey, this sounds funny. Or sometimes he makes distracting, stupid jokes, don't you, Frank?
I make intelligent comments that would, you know, enhance your show if only you would repeat them.
If only I would repeat them. Well, then no comment. Yes, you. And I get, because that's ongoing. I do appreciate a lot of the times that you know you're listening to a program and you hear something that the guy says and you say, hey, well, wait a minute, but question him on that. Not all the time can I fit it in because the way the conversation's going. But a lot of the time, I take him and I ask him the question, you know, or whatever, and it really helps radio programs. So I greatly appreciate that. And you do have your lovely, funny comments. Let me tell you something, folks, Frank does to me. Listen to this. Now, we make a connection just before radio, and there's probably maybe a minute or two, and Frank will talk, and we'll talk back and forth while we're waiting for my intro music to come on. Well, you are notorious, Frank, about saying something that makes me want to bust out laughing. And you say, oh, I've got to go. There's your music. And I'm in the middle of wanting to laugh. And all of a sudden, here comes my intro, which is serious. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I want to strangle you because I want to laugh, you know.
See, and that's putting you in an upbeat, happy mood for your show.
Oh, I knew you'd have an excuse for that. I really knew you'd have an issue. But I am not complaining, folks. It's just that's part of what goes on behind the scenes because, like I say, this is live radio. I tried to do some pre-work.
Yeah, you did. You really did. What was it? Mission Watch, I think, before you were doing that live, you were trying to do that pre-recorded.
Yeah, and it didn't work out at all. I had a hard time doing it because I didn't have a set time to get in front of the computer and do it. And people, when they found out that it's going to be pre-recorded, well, we can do that. And they kept wanting to record at weird dates and times. And there's just, and here's the biggest thing, forget about all that. There's just not the same, what would you call it, Frank?
Energy?
Yeah.
Yeah, energy, live energy. It's just different. It's different to do live. And, you know, I mean, people can see that in anything. I mean, like if you live on the East Coast, because on the West Coast it's not live anyway, and I don't watch the show anymore, but when I was a kid, it was very popular and funny. Saturday Night Live, you know, it's live. If you're on the East Coast, it's live, you know, and, you know, you can see the different, and you can feel the different energy in the show live than pre-recorded. In television, almost nothing is live.
Right.
You know,
right.
Almost nothing is live. And, you know, I mean, maybe your local news is live. You know,
yeah.
That might be live. But that's about it. And there's not a whole lot of live going on TV. But radio has still quite a bit of live.
Right, absolutely. And that's what we do, is live radio. And it makes for a much better program, I think. And it's a mental thing. I almost feel the audience. You know, I know there are people out there listening, and so I like to talk direct with the audience. Instead of, I feel like it's fake if I say, well, I'm going to stop and say something to the people, but, you know, there ain't no people there but my guests being pre-recorded.
It's kind of like the difference between being a guest and being the host. It's a different energy. It's a different feeling. You know, this is why, you know, good hosts don't always translate to being a good guest, and vice versa. Good guest, I mean, I've had that lots of times. You know, people become regular guests, and they're really good. People like them, and then they think, hey, you know, I might want to do my own show.
Right.
Well,
right.
Now, you know, sometimes that works, but most of the time, it either takes a lot of work on the host's part to get up to speed, or it never works. Because
right.
It's a much different, you know, it's a different energy. It's a different feeling.
Well, I forgot to turn that down.
Kind of like live and pre-recorded.
Yeah, and there was an example of live. I mean, my phone just went off. I forgot to turn it down. And, you know, it came over in the mic. I'm sure you guys picked it up and heard it.
No, I heard it.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's a point. But, anyway, real back to this computer. I want to get it in before break in about a minute. So it really wiped out this computer. Like I said, it's got read sheet, two screens. It's the computer I used to do all my research, post everything to. It's my workhorse. And it blew it completely out. Two hard drives. We replaced one of the hard drives with an SSD, which gave it incredible speed.
It does.
But we're having a memory problem. Like I go to send a link and it freezes up, and I just noticed now when I scrolled up my Word page, you know, to the break part, it left. We are back about 200 times for a second, and then it was like then the memory caught up with it of the scroll, and it went back to normal. So I don't know what that's going to be, Frank.
Well, you know, you could have, you know, if you burned out your hard drives, you could have just as well burned out your memory sticks, too.
Yeah,
because those things actually go bad on their own sometimes. And it's really frustrating because you never think that, right? And the only reason I know is because it's happened to me, to where, you know, your computer starts having these memory problems, and you're like, what's going on? And then you go look, and it's like, ah, geez, it's only reading this. I know I got this much memory. It's not reading the other memory. What's up here? And, you know, then you go online, you look up everything, and you find out, oh, they do. They just go bad sometimes. And power surges, you know, that can break anything. And, and you may want to look at that.
Okay, folks. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back in 3 minutes. We're going to talk a lot more about Frank. And I want to give a praise report about some things at the Wichita Mission Church. We'll be back in 3 minutes. No storm.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, remember to pray about helping the Wichita Mission Church while we're getting ready to get into it and talk about it, because we did an upgrade over there and you folks need to know about it. And we're also talking today about a storm. But I will say that this. Remember, folks, the Wichita Mission Church, like all of us are, we're all, you know, you are, sometimes you yourself are the last hope for so many different people. How many people do you turn away? We're not supposed to do that. The Word tells us that in the book of James, it talks about, say to you as pray for somebody and say, I hope you get your need and goodbye and send them on their way? Or do you help them with that need? Because that's what you're supposed to do. If you're able to, you're supposed to help them with that need. And so we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations to Wichita Mission Church helps, and no matter what size they are. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime and for this radio office, which we're talking about. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com, or you can call me and we can talk about it. I can tell you anything that you need to know. So right now, though, we're talking about, we had a power outage, and we're talking about the computers and some other things, and I'm getting ready to tell Frank about this upgrade that we did at the Wichita Mission Church. So you still were there with me, Frank?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, let me finish off about this computer real quick, and then we'll go to the Mission Church. So, yeah, we're having problems with the memory in this computer, and it may be, as you say, Frank, it may be some memory sticks or something. We haven't got that far to check it out. It was a huge thing to be able to get these computers back, because when it knocks out hard drives and you have critical information in them, like recorded radio programs in the other one that we save and archive, I've got programs that go back to 2001, and that's before I was even on AVR. So all those things were stored in that computer, and it did not, and this is where I'm done. I had a backup a couple years ago. The backup system broke down, and I never fixed it. Well, my tech guy really got not really upset, but he said, okay, we'll retrieve everything, but I'm setting up everything different. And so if you turn on one of my computers, there's going to be a copy of every file in every computer, mind you, because I'm in my office. I also have a computer that is in my house that I call my wife's computer or mom's computer, and I have a profile in there, and that's going to also have my files backed up in it. And then the Wichita Mission Church has a computer, and I'm not sure if the hard drive's big enough there, but I have we're going to also sync this to that. And my laptop, we're going to make sure there's enough room in the laptop. We're going to have a laptop that has everything in it to where if something broke down, we can pull open the laptop and we can do what we need to do out of that laptop to at least to broadcast, and so we won't miss programs. So that'll be good. But still, I still am of the belief, because these computers are past 6 years old, and this main computer right here, if nothing else, I'd like to replace this computer, because we're still having problems with it, and it is old, and it's my main workhorse that I work on hours and hours and hours every day. Okay. Anyway, so having that out of the way, do you think I missed anything with computers?
Nah. You pretty much,
boring.
Told us what you know anyway. You know,
right.
What you know so far.
Well, and I do want to say a special thanks to Wichita, because, you know, there was somebody that came forward in Wichita that contacted me and said that, in fact, he was a guy that helped us out with the mission bus a few years back and got some work done on it. But he came forward and came down and talked to me, and he's doing some things. And in fact, I'm taking my hard drives to him. The information that I thought I lost out of this main computer, because we couldn't get it to come back up, and neither could our tech guy, I took it to Wichita, and this guy in Wichita was able to salvage the information, and he's copying it on to another hard drive, and I'll get that back from him on Friday. Well, I've got two other hard drives to hand him when he gives me the one back. But it's a real blessing. So that's the thanks to Wichita. Anyway, moving right along. Okay, right before the storm, Frank, and I started to tell you about that, we had a donation come, and I won't give any kind of a hint where it came from, but it was a donation to finish work that we started last year, because we got a donation last year from somebody right within our small congregation that had got some money, and he gave all of this money that he got from his brother's death to the Wichita, well, all but just a little bit, to the Wichita Mission Church, so because we badly needed paint and things we hadn't did in 8 years, you know. And so we started that last year, but we ran out of money. It takes a lot to repaint the building and to do the to paint it inside out, tear up tile, do all those kind of things. It takes a lot of money. We ran out of money last summer. Well, this person that we talked to that made this donation, he decided to give the money to finish that upgrade. So after the storm hit, we used the money. We went over there, and some of the homeless showed up to help. And so we repainted the building outside and underneath the awning outside. You know, Frank, even the homeless have smartphones. They are constantly asking, hey, you got a plug-in? Where's a plug-in that's open? So we have this awning outside that we got a couple of years ago. And underneath this awning, we hooked up electricity to where now that was included in donations so we could do that. Where now that when they're sitting outside at the tables, they can just plug their phones right in outside and get their phones charged up. And so that was a big thing. We have a wood privacy fence out back. And my privacy, you know how most privacy fences, Frank, they look just terrible after a couple of years. They're all gray and ugly looking.
Yeah.
Well, ours, we've made sure the first couple of years that, you know, every year we restained it. Well, we didn't. We haven't had the funds to do that in about 5 years. And so you can start to see some of the gray coming through, more on the inside than on the outside. But we were able to restain the fence completely. We did that. So we repainted the building on the outside. We restained the fence on the fence. Then on the inside, on the floor, we had a floor that we tore a tile floor up, and then we couldn't find anybody that could lay tile straight, so we decided to keep the concrete floor, but it was just bare concrete. Well, we painted it with a special paint, concrete paint and sealer, and it really looks great. So we did that. And there was a lot of other little things that we did because, we shut down, and I was over there 4 days working, you know, seemed like almost night and day, doing all these different upgrades to the Wichita Mission Church. We also, my wife complaining about room. Well, we were out of room when we moved in there, and as soon as we moved in there, we were out of room. Let alone women, they have a tendency to get things, jokingly. But so we didn't have storage space. So we checked out, you know, how much it cost for us to build a shed, and my son, who can do anything here that lives here in Florence close to me, he was ready to go over there and just build a shed. We can build a shed in a day, Dad. And I said, I know you can. I said, but I need to check on, it's Wichita. It's not where we live at out here in the country. There are certain rules that we have to go by. Let me check and see what the rules were. Well, we found it easier. We found a company for almost the same price it cost us in materials is going to come out and build a shed. So we're getting a 10x8 shed built within, you know, the next couple of weeks. We're going to come out and build it. So we had to get the area ready for that. So we did that. So this was a major thing that was donated to us to do that. And we were really good with it. I mean, the man said, this is what it's, he asked me, what was the need? I told him what the need was. He gave me money for that need. Well, that's how Messiah's Branch stays open. Folks, if you give me a donation and you bark on it, I want this to go to food, guess where it's going? It's going to food. I don't care if I'm running out of gas, it goes to food. So that's the way it works. And so when this donation came in, it came in before the storm hit. So there was no, you know, there was no money or no donation to replace computers and things. And so, folks, I really need, it would really be a great blessing if somebody out there, I'd like to have a couple of $1,000 to finish up this work, because I'm trying to also step over into video, and that would make us comfortable with all the computers, but we'll get there somehow, however the Father provides. But, so we got the Mission Church, and one other thing I got out of this donation, because he did give a little bit of money that I could use for a great need. What do you think the great need was?
I don't know. Weekend out at the bar.
No, okay, no. Sad to say, no weekend out at the bar. And but I did, you know, we live in deer country. I don't know if there's a lot of deer where you live at.
Oh, yeah.
But we live in the foothills. And, you know, you can't, when you drive, it doesn't matter, summer, winter, fall, snow, what, you always see bloody deer laying all over the road, you know, because we're in deer country. There's trees and stuff all around. It's just deer country. And amazingly, there's not many, I don't see any signs. I can't even think where there's a sign that says warning deer. Everybody out here knows it. But I tend to come home from Wichita. It's usually always after dark, let alone sometimes as late as between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. That's some of the worst time for deer to be, I mean, best time for the deer because they're out on the road. And I have hit a total of 4 deers, and my wife's hit one. In fact, her truck is ragged because of the last deer she hits, and we're trying to pray in the money to replace her truck, a few thousand dollars, but... You know, we just don't have it. So, you know, she'll drive it till the bumper falls off. Well, bumper, there's the key word. So how do we protect ourselves from deer? Well, I did some checking in because a lot of the guys out here, the farmers, you know, they got what you call a ranch bumper. And it's made out of heavy pipe. It's not like those just brush protectors you see on the front of a lot of cars have them and think it's going to protect them from a deer. They have it. Let me tell you what, most of those, if they have a slight wreck with a deer, that deer is going to mangle that thing and it's still going to destroy their vehicle. Well, I spent and it was allotted to me. I spent $1,056 on a ranch bumper. And let me tell you what, now, Frank, it's road warrior time. And what's really funny is it was shipped here to me, and there was a couple, because I was busy, I needed my son to help me put it on the front of the truck. It weighs 250 pounds. Put it on my truck, and yeah, I have 3 sons, but 2 of them were working, and the 16-year-old and I couldn't do it because we needed my other son's help and tools. So I had to wait a couple of days until my can do anything son was off work to do it. I knew instantly. I said, I'm going to get a deer. Before I get this thing on, I'm going to hit it. There's another deer out there that's just waiting for me. It's got my name on it. And I was coming home the night before we put the bumper on. And there he was, you know. And I did try and slow down, but it was almost like I knew in my head, it doesn't matter if I slow down or not. This deer is mine. It's preordained that he's mine. And anyway, so I hit this other deer. It was a smaller one than the other ones, and it did dent my old bumper pretty good in the front. But the next day, it was time to change the bumper, so you can't tell of any damage from that. But now I have a Road Warrior bumper, Frank.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, I'm just glad I know how to weld, because if I need one of those, see, we don't have... the deer around here, I guess, are kind of smart about staying off the road. I mean, you see one in the, you know, ditch every once in a while that somebody hit. And but, you know, Oregon just changed the law here. It used to be in Oregon, if you hit a deer, you know, you had to, you know, you were supposed to call the cops, and you know, or and then they'd call wildlife and, you know, they'd dispose of the deer. But one thing you were not allowed to do under any circumstances was salvage that deer for your own use.
Right.
Well, they've changed the law here now in Oregon where if you hit a deer on the road, you're still supposed to call them and say, hey, you know, I hit a deer, I guess. But you can now salvage that deer for your own use.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty cool. I don't know.
They had to make the thing. They said, now listen, hunting on the road with your car is still illegal. But, you know, if it's an accident, you know, you couldn't help it, you know, you can have the deer now. You can take it home and salvage that meat for your own use. Or, hey, you know what people think? Well, I'm not, you know, gosh, man, the thing got mangled in a car wreck. I don't think I want to eat that. Well, do you have animals? You know what? That's what I'd be doing, because I would salvage that deer just for my dog and cats.
You know, and that's a great idea. And that's a good idea. It also saves the state money and happen to send somebody out there to clean it up and everything. And so that's really wise. Here in Kansas, I'm pretty sure you are supposed to still call wildlife and everything. But here's been my problem. First year I hit, man, he just stepped in front of the van. It was like out of nowhere. And it was closer to Wichita, which really shocked me. But he was a big deer. And this was an old 70s van that was really set up there. It's a full size. You know, it was even made out of, you know, tough metal van. And he hit dead in the middle, and it dented the middle. And I mean, you could walk into where he hit it, and it dented it. All I saw was antlers. Boom, it was just antlers. I pulled over to the side, coasted over the side of the road. We looked all over for that deer, and there was like clear areas on both sides of it because it's the highway. And 235, they keep it clear way, way back, you know, probably 1,000 feet or so on each side of the road. And we went clear up to the hedge lines, looking all over. We couldn't find a deer. First, me and my wife looked, and then the sheriff and I looked. But the sheriff that we did call the sheriff, came. And we had a tow truck on the way. And so the sheriff and I went out there and took his flashlight and looked all over, and we couldn't find it. And then he gave me a ride. That was a really nice guy, Frank. We were, you know, 15 miles up out of Wichita, almost to Newton. And he gave me a ride back to the Wichita Mission Church, where I had another vehicle parked so that, you know, I wouldn't be without transportation. Well, my wife and the tow truck driver, when he got there, they did the same thing. That guy wanted to take it. He said, "I want the meat. Let's find it." And they searched for a long time and couldn't find it.
It was like a Rambo deer.
Yeah, but the next deer I hit, and that one, I hit him. And then he actually went under my car, and I could tell I rolled over him, but it caused... I was going off the road in such a way that this guy that was with me freaked out. I went back to my old school days. I cranked the wheel hard to the right and gave it gas. And so I put myself instead of a uncontrolled spin thing, into a donut. And so I spun a donut, you know, a couple of donuts about twice before I stopped facing the right direction, you know, doing 65, 70 miles an hour. Well, so when we got stopped and everything, so that put it into a controlled spin. I got out, and we looked for the deer, couldn't find it, you know. Then the next person to hit a deer was my wife, looked for it, couldn't find it. And then about 6 months ago or less, I hit one. We was almost home. It was like, you know, oh, there's the bridge. As soon as we go over the bridge on 77 here, we're home, you know, it's time to relax. We're home, we're less than half a mile from pulling in the driveway. Here come this big, giant monstrosity of a deer walking out in front of me, and I couldn't get stopped fast enough, and it took out this truck that I have right now, it took out the front grill and bumper, headlight, a whole bunch of stuff, but I was able to drive it still on home, but I had to replace a bunch of junk. And then the one I hit the other night, we stopped and looked for it, too. No deer anywhere. So these deer around here, man, you know, at least the ones that I'm hitting and my wife's hit are pretty tough characters, you know. And, you know, it ain't like just hitting a little animal or something. These things cause major damage to your car. And a lot of people, well, a good example is like my son. The best thing that you can do if you are coming up on a deer is don't try to swerve to get away from it. In fact, they even tell you that in driver's ed. You slow down as much as possible, but don't do anything that'll put you into something uncontrolled. Because a lot of people, like my son, when he was 16...
Oh, they wrecked their whole car, you know. Yeah. It was nothing. Oh, yeah, you didn't hit the deer, but you wrecked your, you know, flipped your car over into the ditch.
Exactly. And you remember I said to Sherp, when I hit that one deer, he took me to get this little car we just bought. It was at the Mission Church. Well, it ended up being a driver for my 16-year-old son while he was getting his truck running. And he went to dodge a deer. And he didn't hit the deer, but he flipped the wheel to where the car went off the side of the road. And it went end over end in the air. And he landed upright after it flew over a fence, a farmer's fence, and landed out in his field amongst some trees. And he still laughs about it now, but I can't, you picture that. He swerved, missed the deer, but he went off, and it was a big, huge ditch.
Well,
and
yeah, the only thing you can do is just slam on the brakes. I mean, that's the thing. And if you don't think that's true, well, then go read about the Titanic. Because, that's basically what they should have done, too. See, they tried to swerve and got their side ripped open. If he would have just said, slam this baby in reverse, they'd have run straight in to the, iceberg. But they'd have run into it slower, and they would have crinkled up the bow, man. But that's it. They wouldn't have sunk. See, you can make things worse by doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. They could have shut off the, even if it would have broke open and caused leaks in the front, they would have shut off the doors and shut off those compartments. They wouldn't have sank. But by the way that they did it and scurred the side of it, it took out a whole bunch of several. The leak was longer and it went past those compartments.
Yep.
And it sunk them like a rock, absolutely. So doing the right thing. So folks, you just hit them. But now, like I say,
slow down, man. I mean, lock them up. That's what brakes are for. You're not going to get in that much of a jam by locking up your brakes. And you could minimize the damage to your car.
Absolutely.
The slower you hit them, the less damage. And hey, you might even, the deer might, apparently all the deer that, Dan hits, they all walk away from it.
Yeah, or run away from it or something, because they're sure gone. We'll call them ghost deer. We'll get creepy. We'll call them ghost deer. Anyway, they're always gone, but they're over here. They're out here. You see bloody corpses laying all over the road all the time up here. It's nothing. Or you driving down the road and you see these huge red spots that are, splattered and out, and it's really gross, but, you get used to it. Well, that's not a human being. That was a deer again. That's what you do. But there's so much advantage to living in the foothills away from the city, and I just can't even go into that. Well, we are running out of time, so, hey, Frank, I know we've got a few minutes, but I really appreciate you coming on with me today, because I was totally unprepared to talk by myself because I haven't caught up on my sleep. So I do appreciate you being on with me. Tell them when they can find your program.
Well, I'm on at 2 p.m. Pacific, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 3 p.m. on Wednesdays, and this is all Pacific time. And 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, the nighttime show. I'm also do a show there, do 2 hours on Monday to make up for that Friday show that I don't do. So that's when you can do it right here on American Voice Radio Network. We got a nice, easy address, too. For those of you that don't like to type too much, it's avrn.tv.
Well, that's pretty simple. Hey, let's go with this. You're also on YouTube Live, right?
Yeah, like right now. Of course, we're not doing the, we don't have the camera on. It's just video. It's just audio. It's no video just yet. But it's on YouTube, so you can always go there, too.
Right. And you got radio archives at least for a couple weeks or something of each
one. 1 week. Everybody's shows are on there for 1 week, and they are posted within 24 hours. And if they're not, folks, hey, you know what? Send me an email. Give me a call, because they really should be up there within 24 hours. Sometimes, somebody won't do a show. Like, last week, Dan didn't do a show, so there's no new shows on the archives, right? And that's because there ain't any. But, hey, don't let, just call me or send me an email, and I'll let you know. Well, there was no show, or, geez, whoops, sorry, I forgot. I'll get it, and I'll put it up there.
All right. Well, that's cool. Well, thanks for being on with me, Frank.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, be blessed. Okay, folks, next program up in an hour from now, we're having Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club, founder. He's got some real interesting things to talk about tonight, so make sure that you tune back in an hour. But really, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting radio. I really need to get things done here, and so we can even get into the thing of video. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because that is like praying for Yeshua's return, because without him there is no real peace. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.